Am I a wise investor? How have I used my talents? I was reflecting this week about what our Lord tells us in the scriptures and what he does not tell us. And I have many questions, you know. I was thinking about some of the questions that aren't really answered too well in scripture. What is the nature of the Trinity? How about that one? I've had a whole class in that. And, you know, even in the next world, we won't fully understand that. Why is there so much suffering in the world? Another good question. What do we do in heaven, exactly? And the most important question of all is, who's going to win that Civil War game in 2 weeks? See, we have a couple of Beaver fans here. Couple of duck fans, and some questions will be answered in time, like that one. Some are the Lord left for the church to answer over the last 2,000 years. Some will be answered when we cross the threshold into the next world. I'm looking forward to that. Some will not be answered even in eternity. But it's very instructive to see what our Lord emphasizes in Scripture. Because that's what we should be emphasizing. People who don't listen to the scriptures very frequently go off in the wrong direction. They think they know what life is about, and they don't. We have to listen to the owner, the one who created us, to understand. One third of every gospel is the passion and resurrection of Christ. This is so important. This is his love for us. This is our faith. That's how we reach eternal life, through our belief in that. The other two-thirds, when our Lord teaches us, is mostly how do I relate to my neighbor, and thus, how do I love God? It's the little things. We're going to hear this for the next 3 weeks. What is the judgment based on? How do you pass the test? He wants us all to pass. Today's gospel follows a really familiar pattern. We've heard it about three or four times since spring. A rich owner has servants. You know he's rich because he's got servants. And he has the ability to go on a long journey. But before he goes, he passes out talents, which is not just money, but articles of value. He passes out his possessions to these servants. Doesn't give them instructions, does he? And then he goes on a long journey, a very long journey. Later he comes back to see how they did. That's the outline, and in that outline we hear what life is all about. So while Christ doesn't talk about the Trinity very much, he sure talks about what we're supposed to be doing while we're waiting for the answers to those other questions. I like to think of this gospel as being a lot like Monopoly. That's what's going through my head this week. Most of us have played Monopoly. Monopoly is a board game. You open the board, all of us gets a token. I was trying to figure out what they were, you know. Asked some people last night. I thought there was a poodle in there. It turned out to be a terrier. The terrier, the thimble, the iron. One person said there's a money bag in there. I don't recall having a money bag in there. What were some of the others? A car. I never got the car. That's what everybody wants is the car. Or a thimble, you know. Don't want a thimble. I wouldn't want a thimble. Huh? A battleship? See, I'm asking the wrong age group here. A battleship. Huh? A horse? Well, I usually pick the poodle. I didn't even know what kind of a dog it was. You know, so this is our face to the world. This is our personality. We're all different. That's the beauty of life, you know. And each of us is given a certain amount of cash. In the game, of course, we all start out with the same money. But that's not the way it is in real life. So that's the difference. But we all start out with a certain amount of assets. that we inherit from our parents, meaning mostly our personalities, the gifts and talents that we will later develop, you know. Everything we do affects everyone else. Every choice I make on the board is going to affect the other players, and we're in competition to do the best with all the other ones there. And then there's the roll of the dice, the element of chance. So chance plus skill equals success. And like the game, like the gospel, we don't all have the same amount of gifts. And Christ says the owner passes out his assets depending on the abilities. But he doesn't judge them based on how much they bring in, just if they played the game well. Doesn't matter. The one with 10 got the same reward as the one with 2. It isn't, we tend to judge things based on, oh, she has more than I do. What can I do? That's not how God looks at things at all. That's a worldly thing. People that play Monopoly sometimes really get into it, you know. When I was 7 years old, we moved back to Ohio, and my family all rose to Ohio, you know. Every one of my grandparents worked for a different rubber company. We had them all covered. And my grandfather worked for Goodrich. And but we had when I moved there, I played Monopoly with my two cousins for 2 weeks, the same game, in my aunt's basement. And we never did. I don't know how we picked a winner because we never finished the game. But the people that play Monopoly, they know it's not real money. It'd be interesting to play it with real money, you know. Both people have done that. I think a lot of people in this world forget that we are all using someone else's possessions. Even if you don't believe in God, everything we have will one day be passed down to the future, huh? So we have to be careful how we're using what we've got, because it's on loan to us. This is our time to use these things. But we have to leave it all behind, even our bodies. We get a new one someday, but all of this is on loan. That's the first great lesson that many people miss in life. Someone else has given us these possessions. The second message, of course, is that the owner doesn't tell them right away what they're supposed to be doing. He doesn't say, go out and invest. They have to figure it out. Some people are more shrewd than others. We're not all created equal. But we're all expected to try. I think the other key to this gospel is realizing that life is all about the final exam. That is to say, there will come a time when the board will be folded up. The game is over. All the pieces go back in the box. All that play money gets put back for another game with other people. But the owner of the board, meanwhile, while at a distance, this sounds like familiar, is watching because the game was all about how they play. And each of the players, you know, we get to heaven by our faith in Christ. But who we will be in heaven is dependent on what we do now, what we will possess, if you will, who we will, what kind of person we will be, what we will have for all eternity. The stake of ownership with the Master is dependent on how I'm choosing right now. It's vitally important to realize this. We will not be equal in heaven either. We'll all be happy, but not equal. So, what are the talents that God gives us? I see them in, it's the traditional three categories. The first is time. Time. A mother or father with many small children does not have the same time available to offer to others or even for prayer as a retired person. I have different priorities than you do. I have an hour for the Blessed Sacrament every day. I could not preach or go on with what I do without it. Others don't have the luxury of doing that. That's part of my work schedule, and it's a wonderful thing. But all of us are accountable to God for those 24 hours we receive. And if I'm selfish with my time, those who, for instance, chose, I'm not preaching to you today, but those who chose not to go to church this Sunday lost that talent forever. Tomorrow, next week, will be another chance, but that one has been invested in nothing. I had a, I did an online survey a few years ago. It said, put these data in and we'll tell you how long you're going to live. I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. You put in your health history and your family history and whether you're addicted to something or how you eat. And it came out with an age. I think the average for me was 77, and I thought, holy cow, you know. And it had, this is the years, the months, the days, the hours, and the seconds you have left. It was so unnerving, I hid it away right away. But I put it in, I taped it to one of the cabinet doors I don't open very often, but every so often I'll open it and I'll say, holy cow, there's less now than there was. And it's a healthy thing to see life with our time. And then there's the question of money. This gospel is mostly about abilities, I think, but the charism of time, of money that God has given us, we've been talking about sacrificial giving the last few weeks. I normally don't bring it up very often. I was thinking this week, I practiced sacrificial giving for about 25 years, and I consider it the best investment I've ever made. You know, the stock market goes up and down, home prices go up and down, interest rates go up and mostly down these days. I remember my mother in the 1980s was getting 19% on a CD and complained that it wasn't high enough. If she wasn't dead, she'd die if she heard what they're going for now. But an investment with God always pays off. It's safe, it's secure, it will return interest forever. Once again, the gospel's not about amounts. It's about decisions. Am I deciding to invest? Am I investing wisely? Or am I like this poor gentleman who has only one talent and keeps it all for himself? What is this guy? The gospel is really aimed at this last guy. He's the star of the gospel. He's got one talent and he buries it in the ground. The church fathers would tell you that meant that he kept it all for himself. He had what the church calls sins of omission, what I failed to do. He probably resented the fact that he only had one talent. Look at my neighbor has five talents. Look how much he's done for God. All I have is this little bit. How chintzy of the owner to only entrust me with one talent. I'll show him. I'm not going to do a darn thing with it. I'm so mad at him, I'm going to stick it in the ground. I'm going to keep it all for myself. I deserve it. I got cheated. Don't we feel that way sometimes? When it's his turn to come back to the master, the first thing he does is he says, here's your token back. Well, that's not, we all have to give it back. That's not a blessing. He didn't lose the token. But he turns right around and tries to blame his lack of action on the owner. He says, oh, I knew you were a hard man. I've resented you ever since you passed these tokens out. You reap where you haven't sown. You give us this money and you go off your merry way. You're so wealthy, you expect us to do all the work. Then you come in and reap all the rewards. What he didn't understand was that the owner was waiting to give these people true wealth. And he blew it. He blew the game of life. He lost the game of Monopoly. And he was thrown out to wail and grind his teeth. The stakes are very high. For those who have invested well, the owner says, come into my home and share your master's joy. We have waiting for us. He wants us to move into the owner's house. He gives us a stake in his company. He makes us a co-owner and gives us true possessions, unlike that play money that stays behind. He gives us stuff that is our own to last forever. What a deal. He even tells us the reward. And so our Lord invites us to reflect this week, next week, and the week after on how seriously I look at the instruction manual that comes with the Game of Life. It's called the Gospel. How well have I invested? How have I used my talent?